This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection. What's up, everybody? Today on this episode of the E-Square Podcast, we got the incredibly talented, humble, the man himself, the audio engineer, music producer, studio owner. Everybody give it up for Dawson. Let's go.
Recording?
We're live, baby.
Yes, sir.
Dawson in the motherfucking building.
What's up, bro?
Appreciate you coming through, man.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you for having me.
Let's start it off right. Shot of Jameson.
Cheers.
Cheers, bro.
Cheers.
God damn it.
Oof. God damn.
Hello. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Life. Quarantine, you know, staying busy, staying productive.
Ain't in a bitch, man. Fucking quarantine, bro. What have you been doing during quarantine? I mean, you're a music engineer.
Yes.
Are you a producer too?
Yeah, audio engineer, producer.
So you're quarantined.
Yeah, I'm already quarantined. Yeah, that's my regular life.
Yeah.
So honestly, my whole personal life hasn't really changed much. There's been a lot of growth in my personal life for sure, but as far as like drastic change or like routine or anything,
mm-hmm.
same shit. If anything, it's more busy than before quarantine. Like, I don't know what happened. Rapper started getting them stimulus checks and
for real, like, huh? Yeah, the stimmies. What's it? DJ AR called it a stimmy.
I think they're about to
drop another stimmy on us, hopefully, pretty soon.
Yeah, I've been hearing.
Hopefully, we need that, man.
Word on the streets.
You know what I'm saying? They cut that unemployment, so people are hurting.
Yeah, they did, right?
Yeah. Did you get any?
I didn't. No. Oh, okay. I don't know why.
You're your own business, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Self-employed for 4 years now.
You should have got it. You should have filed. Did you file?
I did. I think I qualified for like the minimum or something, and then
you got
back
pay.
I just never followed up with it, and it's not. I'm not tripping about it. I feel like if I do that, it's gonna like fuck up my opportunity to do other life shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think
if I
want
to get a house and stuff like that, like if I'm reporting like my income, like that's another thing too. Like I'm just like, you know, self-employed for 4 years now. Like doing your own taxes is a whole like
different thing.
Like thing, and I just finally properly did them and learned how to do them this year. And I owe, and now it's like I gotta pay taxes. And if I don't do that stuff, it's like I wanna get a house in the future, like a home loan and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they look at all that shit.
Yeah.
If they see your unemployment too, it's like, are they really gonna give you
the
type of loan I'm looking for?
So you're smart. You're smart. You're not just looking for free money out here. Good job.
I don't.
That's what's up.
I don't need their assistance.
That's what's up. I don't know what they're gonna do with this. They just dropped cut that unemployment. People are gonna be hurting, man. Because people like me, like, I don't have any kids, you know, I don't really have a lot of debt, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But when I'm thinking about that, I'm like, okay, I'm cool.
Yeah.
But, like, you think about, like, single moms with kids, and it's just like, yo, people are going to be hurting, man.
Yeah, it's hard to get jobs right now.
It's crazy.
Everything.
The world is crazy. What's your diagnosis of the world right now, man?
I don't know. It's fucked up.
You know? We're on a steep, decline.
It's like, man. I don't want to get like too into the conspiracies and all that stuff.
Oh, let's get into it.
Like,
what do you think?
I don't know, man.
What's your conspiracy?
I don't know shit, bro. I don't know shit. You know,
none of us do.
I just look at it and I'm just like, shit just doesn't feel right. Like this shit doesn't feel real. Like, obviously, I guess the virus is real. It's been around for centuries. Before all this stuff, and now they're just making like I don't know. Like the fact that they closed down the strip. Like I've never ever heard of that in my life. Even like. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. Like, there's got to be something else going on here. It's not just a virus. You know, it's an election year, too. It's like, I feel like a bunch of fucked up shit happens during election years. And
I don't know, man. I think the moon is in retrograde. The Mercury's in Gatorade. That's funny as fuck. Yeah, I don't know, man. They got to do something, especially with Vegas, because, I mean, we depend on tourism. If our whole state does, because what's in Nevada? Las Vegas and Reno?
Yeah, I actually touched up on that on a previous podcast. I was just talking about how I feel like, Vegas is still somewhat of like a baby city in terms of like our whole, like you said, our economy is based on tourism and stuff like that. But there's been things like in the past couple of years to like diversify that, like with legalizing weed and stuff like that. And I heard like the medical field is doing a lot of stuff, and obviously with the sports teams and stuff like that. But that's still more in like the entertainment and like tourism side, and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I think there's too many people moving here. First and foremost, it's way too many people. These fucking housing developers are just soaking up this land and trying to squeeze as many motherfuckers into a small amount of area.
Yeah,
as
I
they
feel like we're
gonna
be like a sub extension, like a little extension from LA.
We're becoming the next LA, and I hate it. It's I hate it.
Why?
Because LA is so overcrowded, it's dirty.
But we the new LA. We get to experience it while it's still new and fresh, and then it's gonna get played out in like 5 years.
Oh man, it's just like.
But I'm excited.
I mean, I'm excited, but it's also just I wish they would stop building so many houses and start building communities. Because these houses, because there's a difference, you know. Because these houses are like, they're just fucking houses on top of houses, and then they're not incorporating parks or rec centers or as much as they should be, and it's just like an overpopulation of people just squeezed into these little tight areas, and you know, it's just so over. You start to feel claustrophobic. You know, are you born and raised here?
No.
Oh, where are you from?
Originally from Arizona.
Oh, really?
Lived in Hawaii for like 4 years.
Oh, you're one of those Arizona people?
Yep.
You're one of those motherfuckers?
One of those. It's funny because I know what you're talking about, though. Like,
yo, Arizona be wildin', bro.
I'm not one of them.
Arizona be wildin'. What part of Arizona?
Kingman.
I swear to God.
You know Kingman?
Yeah, I go there often. I've been there often. Yeah. My girlfriend's grandma lives there. They're from there. My girl's like from Kingman.
Who's your girl?
Kai, she's I don't know if you know her. Probably just.
I mean, it's a small town. Probably don't.
Peel, but I've been down there plenty of times over at Hualapai Mountains and all that.
Yeah,
I've been
sucks,
there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Fucking horrible.
Well, it's like funny. It's like a funny town because, it's like, it's like in the middle of nowhere. But
have you been to Golden Valley?
I mean, you drive through it, right?
Yeah, I haven't really been there. Like, my grandma stays there, and I used to live with her for the majority of the time. So that's really the middle of the desert. That's literal dirt roads and, like, trailer park houses.
Yeah.
Fucking horrible. There's absolutely nothing to do there. Yeah. Like, it's really bad, bro. Like, I'm just so lucky. I was just saying this last night, like, how lucky I was that my mom did what she did and moved me to Hawaii and moved both of us to Hawaii because that was just random.
How old were you?
I was 14.
When you moved from Kingman to Hawaii?
Yeah.
So you kind of grew up in Kingman.
Yeah.
So you have memories there.
Yeah. That's like
man, it's so fun. Their biggest grocery store is Walmart.
Yeah. And when you're in Golden Valley, you have to drive to Kingman to go. Like when I went to school, I had an hour and a half bus ride just to get to school because I lived in Golden Valley.
That's
hilarious. I was the first person and the last person.
What school did you go to?
I went to Kingman Middle School. I went to Kingman High School just for 1 year.
Okay.
And Surbat Elementary.
I probably know some people that know you, bro, or know your family.
Probably,
dude.
Yeah. It's a super
town. I'm going to ask when I get home. I'm going to ask her. That's so funny, bro.
Yeah, man.
You know what I love about Kingman, though, is that they got some old, I'm in old school cars, classic cars.
Oh, yeah.
They got some gems out there, bro. The little dealerships. Mm-hmm. They got some gems out there, man.
Yeah.
So Hawaii. So you moved to Hawaii when you're 14. What island? Big Island?
Big Island. Hilo. And yes.
So how was that? Are you
that
Hawaiian?
That changed my life. I'm Puerto Rican.
Okay.
Yeah. That should change my life because, like I said, dirt road, trailer park houses, just the middle of the desert.
To paradise.
To a fucking tropical island, bro.
Yeah.
I live so close to the water that
that's so sick.
My house is on like these big concrete pillars.
Yeah.
Just in case like a tsunami was. Like you could see the ocean from our backyard.
Yeah.
It was
that's crazy.
Crazy. Because like.
Yeah, all the houses are, if you're close to the beach, they're elevated.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a motherfucker.
All elevated. Yeah, it was insane just because like growing up, like, you know, I came from like a poor family and we moved a lot growing up. Like I've always moved and just that transition going into that was just surreal. Like even though like nothing really changed, like it was still like the same situation. We were just in paradise. Like we were still moving, you know, like my mom's husband at the time, like, you know, was alcoholic, abusive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like we're still in like these same situations we always found ourselves in, like always getting kicked out and all that stuff. We were just in paradise, you know. But I'm still grateful for it regardless, you know, because that shit really did change my life. I was on a really bad path. Like before all my friends, you know, I was already smoking weed. Like my mom didn't really care like what I did. Like I was a skate rat. Like every day after middle school, like I was at the skate park all day.
Sick.
And, you know, got into weed at a really young age and like stealing shit and got most of my friends to start doing that stuff. And then when I moved to Hawaii, Came back a year later, and then all of my friends smoked weed.
Yeah.
From none of them wanting to smoke weed to all of them smoking weed. And I went back
to Arizona?
Hawaii. Yeah. Came back 2 years later.
Yeah.
And my homie, who I used to stay there for like months at a time, like he was like living in his house and the house that I used to stay at and everything. And the house was foreclosed. They were squatting in it.
Oh, damn.
Like his old room was like torn to trash. Like they were in there, and like it was a really sad thing to see because like there was barely any furniture, and they were like,
that could have been you.
Percocet 30s off 10-4.
That could have been
shit.
You.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I was the worst out of all of them. Like, I got a lot of them to start smoking weed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and so to move to Hawaii, that shit literally changed my life. I'm always forever it's grateful. Crazy. Hawaii is like, this tattoo is like a representation of
what
that.
Is it?
You know,
what
this
is, what is it?
It's a wave. This is Aaron Kai. Shout out to Aaron Kai. Mm-hmm. I'm manifesting a mural from him for my studio. And he's from Hilo, Hawaii, too.
Okay. He's an
artist.
I
found out about
there?
Him through some Hawaii hip hop artists and stuff like that. My friend Ben put me onto him. He had a brand called Lemon Hawaii. Found out about this artist named Pre. I don't know if you know Pre.
Yeah, I know Pre.
Yeah, so he's from Hawaii, too.
Yeah. He moved away now, right?
He moved back
to Hawaii?
No, he's still in Vegas, I'm pretty
sure. Oh, is he? I thought he moved back to Hawaii.
I think so. My old roommate, Cisco, still kicks it with him.
Oh, okay,
I see
okay.
him on his story and shit.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I found out about Pre, and then I've seen his growth like from that till now, and now he's like doing like murals for Chris Brown and like doing the cover art for them. He does stuff with like Brisk, Taco Bell, Jameson, and Adidas and stuff like that. So it's cool to see him coming from Hilo and just making his life what it, you know, turning his passion into like this beautiful lifestyle and stuff like that. So that's why this tattoo and everything.
Damn. So you traveled from Hawaii to the Ninth Island.
Yep.
Las Vegas.
The Ninth Island.
What? So
it was
what,
by choice, too.
Oh, so how old were you when you came here?
I was 19.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I spent like 4 years out
you
there.
You came here solo, or you knew somebody, or your family came?
It was actually just me and my girl at the time. We moved out here together. So
on a whim?
I got kicked out like right before I graduated high school. Well, I kind of like moved out because my mom got into like a really bad fight with her ex-husband, like really bad. Like she texted me one day and was just like, come get all our stuff, like I'm going to jail. And I just like showed my text to my friend. We were in Spanish class in fifth period, and like we literally just got up and just walked out of class, and he took me to my house, and the shit was fucking trash, bro. It was really bad, and I couldn't find her anywhere, and like we just like packed up all my shit in like his little 1990 Toyota Camry. He moved me into his room, so I ended up moving out. I just stayed with him, and then after I graduated, I didn't really know what to do. You know, like I just graduated high school, got to figure out like.
And you're still,
you know,
in Hawaii,
like in that confusing space. Like, what do I do?
You know,
you know, they were kicking me like a discounted rate for rent and stuff like that. But she said like when I graduate, like I gotta like put it back to the normal rate and all that stuff. So my girl at the time, her dad owned a landscaping business, and they were planning on moving to Maui on a different island. And he was like, you know, you can come stay with us and. I have a company car, you can come work for me and all that stuff. And sounded good, you know.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I felt like that was a mistake, you know. Because me and my mom moved there to Hawaii alone. We didn't know anybody out there. And she's blonde hair, blue eyes, white. And, you know, they're kind of racist out there. So,
oh, like, are they?
She didn't, oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, especially towards Howleys.
Howleys?
Howleys.
Yeah. What does that mean? Is that my mama Howley?
Yeah, technically, I mean.
Fuck.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's foreigners.
Yeah, well, they should be because, I mean.
Absolutely, they have every right to be.
Everybody should hate white people. It's not a good time to be a white male in anywhere right now.
Yeah, so I just felt bad for leaving her there. And then, you know, so I stayed in Maui, did that whole thing, and that was fucking horrible, you know. That was a mistake. But we planned on moving to Vegas that whole time we were in Maui. Stayed out there for like a year.
Yeah.
And we moved out here.
Nice.
And I chose Vegas because it was just a...
It's so funny that so many islanders live out here.
Yeah, it's cheaper to live. It's relatively close to Kingman, you know what I mean? It's an hour and a half away.
Yeah, it worked out well for you.
And I already knew I wanted to do audio engineering and producing, so I wanted to just move to a city where I felt like there was just more of that opportunity and stuff like that. So Vegas was the choice.
It's so funny that so many islanders live out here because it's so opposite of what... Hawaii is the island is so dry, no water. It's so funny. So we have such a huge population.
Yeah,
literally called the Ninth Island. I went to Hawaii, my family, a while ago, maybe 5-6 years ago. We went to Kauai and spent a whole week out there. Man, it was so fucking beautiful, dude.
Kauai, that must have been crazy because like that's a really secluded island.
It's so secluded, bro. It's just so green and so clean. You can drive around the whole island like 2 hours. You know, there's a couple villages. Yeah. It's so beautiful, bro. Damn.
So I would say, though, living on Maui, like, doing landscaping, I got to view the whole entire island. Like, I was just driving around the whole island just, like, mowing yards and shit like that, sucked. But, like, I got to – I know Maui pretty well, though.
That's dope. Yeah. You go back to Hawaii?
Yeah, my last time going back was last year in March.
Which you go
was,
back to Kingman?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I have to. I have family out there.
Oh, okay. Damn, that's funny. That's funny.
It sucks going out there, bro. Like, it drains my energy. Like, I don't know what it is, bro.
It's pretty run downtown.
Only reason I go out there is for family.
It's pretty run downtown, but it's like cool at the same time because it's so American. It's so American, bro. Yeah. I don't know what I'm trying to say when I say
feel like
that.
I
but
get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like,
to me, it's just really white.
It's so white, dude. It's so white. And I'm not saying like that part is cool, but I'm just saying it's so close to Vegas, but it's so different from Vegas. It's like, okay, like this, because you don't really, unless you travel, you don't really realize how different people are in. Like you think, oh, we're in the United States, like, you know, but you go to Texas or Miami, it's so much different, or Hawaii, it's so much different, dude. Like, when you really get exposed to other cultures and other places, you realize, it's so different, bro. Yeah. So different.
Yeah.
So when you planted your flag in Vegas, though, how did you get started in engineering and doing
I just started, like, in high school with my friends. We were just all rapping and stuff like that. And
you're a rapper?
Yeah, that's how I started off. Yeah,
come on,
I'm not
man.
Anymore.
Give me some bars, man.
Negative. That's not my lane anymore.
Good job, man.
That's why I became an engineer.
Thanks,
you know?
Man. Appreciate it.
Gotta play your role.
We need more people like you, man.
For real.
Less rappers, yeah.
I was telling, we were talking about that, for real. Everybody wants to be a rapper, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's the.
And we need to have, like, panels and podcasts and discussions about everything else that needs, like, all the components and key players that an artist needs, and, like, people need to fill those roles. Like, not everybody is a rapper.
You need a team. You know
what I'm saying? Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's the fame factor. People want to be famous. In America, we're so obsessed with celebrities. Yeah. The celebrity culture out here is disgusting, and I'm just realizing it. We grew up in it, so we're kind of blind to it. But when you think about it, like last night, I saw this article on Twitter from Hot New Hip Hop, and the title of the article was "Kim and Kanye are living separately. More details." Like, who the fuck cares what's going on in their personal life? Is disgusting. You know what I mean? And people love that shit. People just like
they eat that shit up.
Oh, man. So, I mean, I'm trying to reprogram my brain to not be so into it as well. You know, it's like just an invasion of privacy. You know, like, I get it if somebody's extraordinarily talented. You know, they could sing, they could do whatever they do. Of course, we're gonna look at them in a higher regard. But when it goes into their personal life, dude, I just don't want to hear it. You know, but I don't know, man. It's just a weird, and that's why I think so many people, because social media now you know it puts people in power, and then they think they can really, you know,
that's just a drug, bro.
It's a drug, bro.
For sure,
man. Do you check your screen time?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm not gonna lie, bro.
Yeah, man.
And when I first put that on there, I was ashamed.
Ashamed? Like, you don't realize it, dude.
Like, man, it's literally Instagram and Twitter too.
Yeah,
like, it's bad too. Like, I'm not afraid to say it. Like, I have an issue.
We all do. Yeah, we all do.
Because a lot of the time, like, if you see my Instagram or my Twitter, I'm not posting.
I'm just scrolling.
And it's such a habit now. It's like I just catch myself. Mid action, like what?
FOMO,
what
bro.
Why am I going? Like, what the
FOMO. Fear of missing out, man. You might miss something. Don't miss something, bro. Don't not like something, and then you all of a sudden become labeled as a hater.
No, it's true. Know? Like, if you're on Twitter, if you like miss one day of Twitter, like you're gonna miss the whole inside jokes of what everybody's fucking talking about and shit.
Yeah, it's weird because it's so ingrained with our culture now and our brains that you do feel like. Disconnected. If you're not engaging on social media, you feel disconnected on what's going on. But really,
I feel like I need that though right now.
What do you mean to disconnect?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. We all.
I feel like
do.
I'm like more like winging myself off of it slowly. Yeah. I think it's just starting with mindfulness and just paying attention to when you do it and why you're opening this app. It's so easy to get the fucking distracted.
Oh
my
man.
Discover page. Oh my god.
Yeah. I know.
All the finest women in the world.
Oh, man.
I'm going on there to go search someone to DM him.
Thirst traps.
Like, oh,
Yeah. It's
you just easily get that lost.
It's numbing our brains to though, dude.
That's what I'm saying. I was telling Teej the other day, I was like, yo, there's just too much ass and titties on my timeline. Man. How do I mute? Like, yeah, I know you can mute words. Like, can I mute content?
Yeah.
Can I just stop this from, like,
yeah, because
I don't like how numb I'm getting to it. You know what I mean?
You want
to,
because what happens if you keep doing that for 5 years? Then you don't get excited anymore?
You know what I'm saying?
Then does that make you gay? Is that, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck, dude. It's like, I just remember in middle school, in high school, that I'm 29. So in middle school, I seen the internet kind of like, I've lived through like the transitional period between, like, you know, when I was in middle school, we had Xanga. I don't know if you remember Xanga.
No.
It was like a blog and shit. God, I hope nobody finds my Xanga. but then we had MySpace and then Facebook. So we didn't really like interact too much on there. Like I probably would do it like maybe like on the weekends or something. I would get on there, but we barely had cell phones. Like in middle school, we didn't have cell phones and shit. Like if you had a cell phone, you were on some boss shit, you know what I mean, in middle school. In high school, like, I had, like, a Razor phone, I think, or whatever. But back to my point, what I was about to say was, like, with the girls, it's like, dude, you had to work for a picture in some panties
you
and bra.
Some
and
nudes, bro. Like, that was an accomplishment, man. Bro.
We were it's just on. Talking about it's on. But now these girls just taking pictures.
Now
with
they got the OnlyFans.
25% of their nipples hanging out, and it's like, come on. Yeah. Come on. Like,
yeah.
Just for it's the world? Just anymore. For the world? Just for the world to it's see? Just for, it's for likes, bro. It's for validation. That's what gets them their attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't get it, man. We were just talking about last night, like, what was it like in the 1800s or like the early 1900s, like, mm-hmm. like back then, like, there had to be completely like fucking back then had to be completely different. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, we have standards now, you know, like, there's society, there's rules, like, like the whole, like, era where everyone was like shaving and all that shit. Like,
well,
and then it's like back then it's like they were just like, you know, with the clothes that they wore and everything like that. The girls with the big, like, what are those things? The corsets.
Bustier?
Bustiers?
Yeah, I think.
You know, and like...
No, corsets. Corsets.
Corsets, yeah. You know, and like, they weren't showing anything. Like, back then, like, a girl could, like, show some ankle and they'd be like, she got her ankles out.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is due to religion. You know, like, I think you're not as holy if you're, like, showing titties or showing skin, you know? Right. I think... But I think a lot of people back then were doing just as much as degenerate shit as people do today.
No, yeah, it was probably they were like, yeah, like they had to have been.
Yeah,
but there were no fucks given.
Yeah, but it's like if you have a bad night, it's not gonna live on forever on the internet back then. That's the difference,
right?
You know what I mean? It's like you get held accountable. That's the fucked up thing about today is that you get held accountable for your actions years ago for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? People will constantly, especially if you're like a celebrity or something, people will dig and dig and dig for shit.
Would you have rather wanted to live like in that era post internet or
No, just because of like health and wellness and things like
information,
that
and information
medicine and information, and everything was so limited back then that it's like, dude, people weren't even barely living to 50 back then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think, and just disease and plagues and all that shit. Like, like back then, it's probably a lot peaceful. Like, probably way in tune with nature and all that. But like, if you catch a disease, or something like the medicine that you're fucked, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just like giving birth. Like, people are probably giving birth in their houses. Like, no doctors around.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? You know. I don't know. It's just a totally different world. And it's crazy because it's not that long ago.
Right. No, Like, shit's, like, accelerated so quick. And I wonder what, like, how fast we're going to accelerate in this next century.
Yeah, the next 100 years is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. We better clean up this earth, though.
The Neuralink. You're going to get a Neuralink chip?
Hold on. What is that? Elon Musk shit?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. The Neuralink is... Hold on. I read an article on it. It's a chip in your brain?
Yeah.
So what does it do? Controls your brain?
Shit. I don't know. Or, I'm not sure exactly, okay, to be honest.
I don't know if I would get a chip in my brain. I don't even want to put a chip in my dog.
No, yeah, I feel it. That's a strange world.
I think you're fucking with nature.
About. Yeah, and
fucking with nature.
They're definitely telling you, like, anybody who gets it, like, you're going to have a competitive advantage over everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll be able to compute. You'll be able to think like a computer. Like, compute that fast.
Yeah.
And, like, troubleshoot. Which would be crazy. That would give you a huge advantage in life. if I could think like that and just, but
it'd be cool. It would be super cool.
Yeah, it's just the whole trust factor. Someone hacking that shit and like.
So scary.
Yeah, what if someone hacks your Neuralink thing and just controls you and you go and murder somebody or something?
Yeah, well, I think, so my conspiracy theory is that they're doing, I think they could do it with phones. So like they're.
Like some Kingsman? Well, you ever watched that movie?
No, I haven't.
I forget. I just know the scene where it was like they were playing a certain frequency from the phone that was making everybody fucking go crazy.
Yeah,
and they were killing each other.
So it's like I think they could, because it's like the perfect. What is that? It's like the perfect Trojan horse, you know?
Yeah.
Where they find their way into our lives, get us addicted to these phones, and then maybe some event where we all have to look on our phone. Some event that is putting on where they need as many eyes as possible into an iPhone, right? And then when they have the top or they've reached peak amount of viewers, boom, they hypnotize everybody. They put some shit on the phone where they hypnotize everybody, and then they tell us, oh, go kill somebody or go do this or go do some crazy shit, and then we're out of control.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. It's crazy, and that's why you have to be aware of. It's just like, you know, it sounds kind of far fetched, but I mean, I don't know, man. It's some evil fucking people in this world.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And it's chess. It's not,
I used to have like an issue with just all of this stuff and like, man, like, what do I do? It's like, I don't know what to do. And like, after
a couple of hallucinogenic trips, man,
I just think nothing matters, bro. Nothing matters. No. And like,
we're all going to the same place.
When you think about it, it's like, we were just born into this. Yeah. It's like, all this shit was fucked up when we got here, you know? It's like, to take on the responsibility to fix it is like, you feel some kind of like responsibility, and everybody should do their part as like an individual. Mm-hmm. But is it our responsibility to do that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, it's not our fault. Like, we were born into this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I've just had like a real, like, it doesn't matter, bro. Like, yeah, I'm just living.
I'm just going to
do what I like. I'm just going to have fun and like.
Enjoy your time.
And just do what I know, man. Like, all I know is fucking music. I'm just in the studio all day. And I feel complete. You know, I like that I have a role in people's lives and people need me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have that sense of like, you know, it's just, it's fulfilling.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, to know that like, damn, I can't do this without you, bro. Like, I need you. It's like, yes. Okay. I know what I'm doing. I'm playing my part.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody got to do, is just play their part. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, you got to find your escape in this crazy time, in this crazy world. You know, I don't know.
I feel like when you do, it's like, life is pretty amazing.
Yeah, no,
100%. Like, my personal life
perspective
right now,
is
like,
everything.
Like, my financial goals, like, personal goals, health, well, all that, like, is the best that it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
While the world is probably, like, in the most fucked up.
Perspective, bro.
Yeah.
Keep a good perspective. It's always a win. I have this win-win perspective where no matter what happens, I'm winning. No matter, you know, if I lose a friend, cool. I won in that situation because I have one less fake person around me, you know what I mean? So it's definitely like,
I feel like this whole quarantine has done that too. It's like, it's definitely like cut loose ends, you know, and just like tightened up the click, you know, and like solidified who's in my life and like who I'm doing this for too. Like, I feel like that played a role into it too. So it's like, I've had hella family issues. Like, my whole life I've always just felt like an outcast and just very individualized and alone per se. And just like these past couple months, like, I only met my dad when I was 15 and his side of the family. So it's like, over like these past 10 years, like, I've gotten to know them and everything like that, and it's just crazy, like, the amount of love that they have for me and like, just knowing that, like how my dad feels about me.
Yeah.
Like, I've never known this stuff until like I started talking to him, and it was just like, it gave me a whole new sense of like motivation, you know? Like, to me, it's like, I feel like his situation is fucked up, and like, how he's in prison for like 25 years.
Oh, really?
And for something, you know I wasn't there, I don't know what happened, but to me, something's wrong. Like, it doesn't feel like he deserved that. And I feel like he's innocent.
So you met him in prison? Like,
yeah. So it's like, when he gets out, it's like, I found newfound motivation by, like, with everything I'm doing. It's like, man, I got to make sure, like, whatever I'm doing, like, is successful and pops off, so that the bigger purpose is now not for me. It's to help my family, help my friends, like Tiege and Angel. Like, these people are, like, my family now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, the closest thing to me. And it's like, I don't want to do this stuff without them.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like,
yeah, the motivating factor is kind of, you get to change your narrative of your family.
That was a realization that I came to not too long ago, like a couple months ago. And It's like real, like some real newfound motivation, like mm-hmm. it helps me get up in the morning type shit. Like, cause that was a struggle for me too. Like getting up in the morning. I don't know why. Like I used to be a morning person. Then something happened. And I was just like,
I'm not a morning person. It was tough. So how was that conversation with your father the first time? Cause I haven't, I have a dad, but he's not my biological father. Yeah. So I've never met my biological father. Uh-huh. So how, but I've had a dad since I was young. He married my mom and adopted us. But how, so how was that conversation like when you first met him at 15?
Well, our first conversation was on the phone.
Mm.
That's actually not our first interaction. I can't really say it cause, but
when you, I mean, it was,
yeah, like, off camera, I can say it, but, yeah. But our first time talking though was him. No, no, this was our first interaction. So yeah, he called me. Mm-hmm.
Like what were you, what was going through your mind?
I was nervous as fuck. Yeah, right. I was 15. I don't even
were you
believe
mad?
I said it. No, no.
Like, well, just mad in the sense of like he wasn't there or
no. Oh, not okay, at all, not at all.
You were
like,
ready.
He was in prison since I was two, and like I had already
okay.
known.
Oh,
why.
So
like,
he was in prison your whole life. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I was just nervous as fuck to talk to him. Like I was just hella nervous. I'm pretty shy, especially back then. I was super shy. So mm-hmm. it's like, I know he felt a type of way of my silence, but it was nothing towards him. Like, you know,
you know
just
what
like,
to
I,
say.
I
yeah, you're 15. Yeah, like yeah.
And I had gotten so used to the fact, you know, of just not having a father figure in my whole life. So it was like, I didn't really think anything about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it was a, yeah, it was a trip, yeah. You know? But I see how much joy like it brings him and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And like, whenever he calls, you know, it's like, I always try to make sure I have some kind of story to tell him, you know, because, like, they live vicariously through our experiences,
yeah,
you know. When
100%.
They're in there, it's like they want to know everything that we're doing, and mm-hmm. they kind of, like, live through that. And I know he's stoked for everything that I've done and, like, the fact that he wasn't there and, like, how I turned out and stuff like that. And my mom was a really young parent, you know, mm-hmm. and just didn't have the proper guidance, too. So, you know, I'm sure he was worried. He told me that he had to, like, pretty much tell himself that I was dead for him to even cope with the fact that he had no contact with me. So he was like, my son's dead to me. And my mom, when we moved to Hawaii, she actually wrote him a letter and was sparked the initiation to like mm-hmm. get us to talk and everything. And you know, he didn't even want to open it. You know, he thought like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
She's like fucking with me and all this stuff. And yeah,
it's but, tough, man.
Yeah, one more year though. You thought next year? Next
year. Dude. That's so
I'm
dope.
So stoked,
bro. That's so great. Have you gone to visit him?
Yeah,
I've visited him. Oh, bro, that if anybody's listening, they have people in prison. It's so important you go visit them, and it's so easy to kind of forget about them, not forget about them, but get caught up in your own personal life,
right.
And then a year goes by and you haven't gone to see them, and that plays a huge role on that person's rehabilitation or that person's ability to get through what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my closest friends, he's been in jail since my senior year in high school. He's been in prison 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he's getting out now, but our friendship has like grown,
mm-hmm.
bro, over since, you know, like everybody fell off with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just weird, but he's like my best friend, bro. And mm-hmm. because the talks we have and me going to visit him, it gives me so much perspective and so much like keeps me grounded in the sense of, dude, I have my freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it it makes me fulfilled to know that I'm giving him hope and,
right.
and he's, and like our friendship is solidified for life. You know what I mean? Cause we're going, even though he's the one in there, mm-hmm. you're going through it together.
Yeah.
You know, so the fact that you're there for your dad is probably like, dude, he's
that's probably, was, yeah.
It's probably, it could be the,
a lot of it, yeah.
Cause he can get it. He can, you know, a lot of inmates go in prison and they start fucking up in prison.
Yeah.
Nobody's visiting. They just lose their, like their purpose, their why, like why, you know, like nobody's coming to business.
He's got
you know?
It together. No, he's a very smart man. Like, you know, he was in the Air Force, you know, super, very high ranking Air Force officer when he went to prison. And that's kind of like why his sentence was so large
mm-hmm.
for what it was. But he's definitely got his shit together.
That's
you know,
good.
For sure.
I'm glad he's
always, yeah. He gives me great advice all the time, too. And the best financial advice.
Mm-hmm.
That I've ever gotten, which is really just literally save 20% of everything that you
I say 50%, bro.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm saying? If you can, yeah, absolutely. But at the minimum, like 20,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's such a huge difference. Like you'll just literally just watch your savings grow if you're literally putting these 20% away
yep.
or some kind of percentage and stuff like that. And And if I didn't do that, it's like I wouldn't have been able to do the things that I'm doing now, like with the studio and all of that stuff. So it's like
it also gets you peace of mind, you know? Like, okay, if something does happen,
I'm cool, you know, if the pandemic happens, if clients stop coming in, it's like I'm cool, you know.
Safe for a rainy day. Yeah. It's a cliche, but it applies, bro.
Absolutely.
You know? So you say you're building a new studio. I seen that.
Yes, sir.
Damn, where's that at? Undisclosed location?
No, it's a same spot I had my like small room.
Mm-hmm.
1800 Industrial downtown.
Oh
spaces.
Yeah, I know the place. Yeah.
I think you guys might have had a dance studio or something.
No,
it's unit 200A.
Yeah, okay.
So right up
where Surreal was?
No, 200A. So it's right up the stairs to the left, that very first door.
Uh huh. Oh, it was a dance studio.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we used to rehearse in there.
Yeah.
It was from the art guys. They owned it.
Mm-hmm.
What are they called? What's their names? They
Naked City?
No, not Naked City. They own like art company where I forgot their name, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's in the same building where Surreal show is, right?
Same building.
Is Surreal stuff a show there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta hit him up. I haven't talked to him. I see he's like Instagram modeling shit over here now. I've seen that. That's dope, man. So you building it out by yourself?
Yeah, so it's me and Angel.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
man,
you guys are like powerhouse over here, man.
You already know, bro.
I'm paying attention, bro. Don't worry. I see what's going on.
It's crazy because there was a unit that opened up upstairs probably like summer last year, and I was asking about it, and I really wanted to get it. I was like, yeah, man, we could have more than one room. We'll have a lobby area. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I want to do it. And then I don't know what happened. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then all this shit happened, and then there's John, who has like a studio down the hall from my old studio. He does a lot of bands, and he rented the room out on the other side of my wall. So he was down the hall, and now he has another room right on the other side of this wall.
Mm-hmm.
And all they were doing was band rehearsals.
Mm.
And they had like a whole wall of amps literally facing my wall. And like, dude,
what the fuck? I can't hear shit.
I had to cancel sessions and all that stuff because of it. So I ended up asking like the lease lady if there was any other available units.
Mm-hmm.
And she showed us that one. And me and Angel took a little tour. And then I was like, damn, this is a really good deal. Like the price was 2,000 square feet. I was like, damn, I would love to do this. But the lobby area was fucking huge. I was like, mm-hmm. man, I would only really want to do it if we could like build a wall right here mm-hmm. and make this its own room. That way we have three rooms and the lobby area is still pretty big.
Yeah.
And then Angel's like, oh yeah, my uncle can do that easily.
Yeah.
Like he has all the stuff for that. I was like, Bird?
Oh shit.
Are you serious? So we brought his uncle through mm-hmm. to the tour and he was like, yeah, got it.
Easy.
It was easy, bro. We built that wall in like a week. I thought the whole thing was going to be done like in a couple weeks because that wall went up so fast.
Damn.
We're still building it.
Oh, it's still building it. Yeah, but like it's workable months. Now?
Yeah, we have two rooms done, and then the third room should be done this week.
All right, come check it out.
Yeah, we have Noir Movement subleasing some space in
there,
too.
Cool.
So they're going to be in there as well. Yeah, come through. Come check it out.
Yeah, come check it out.
Junction Sound. Got three rooms now. Got a lobby area. Damn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Look at the junction.
You got
man.
The, you got the view.
Oh,
we're
shit.
Upstairs now. Like,
damn.
You can see the sunset in the back room.
Nice.
You walk outside, see the stratosphere.
Yeah, you want to be
24-hour dispensary.
Yeah, you want right to be you want to be upstairs over there because that shit can get a little crazy.
Yeah.
I seen that video. Somebody was fighting back there. That shit was funny.
Yeah, man, that was funny.
Yeah.
Some shit you see downtown, man.
Yeah, it was a that was
crazy. Fucking, so how'd you and Angel link up?
He had DM'd me when I was like looking. I don't know if I was looking for interns at the time. I think I may have made a post about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking me, like, yo, if you need someone to, like, help, like, record the Dreamers, I think, at the time. And I was like, yeah, bro, like, I'll let you know, like, when that time comes or whatever. And, eventually he started coming around. And then I asked him, I was like, yo, you know, you can use the room whenever if you cook up. You know, we'll just split rent and stuff like that. I'll give you a key. You can have access and all that stuff. And so that's kind of how it started. And, like, he was just we were just splitting the rent and sharing the space. And he was just producing at the time. And then, you know, he wanted to learn how to engineer. And so, you know, I helped him out with that a little bit.
Nice.
And then I feel like I barely really helped him with that. He just, like, took it and just
He got work ethic. I could tell.
Absolutely.
You could tell when somebody is really about their shit and when they're not. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And and then so we were just working together for like that whole year and just working, you know, engineering
together. The chemistry
was right. Yeah, and then that's how we linked up, and then now we're doing this, and now we're partners, and
Who knows what else is to come, bro?
Yeah, man.
You know, when you have the right people around you, it makes all the world a difference, bro.
Absolutely,
you
bro.
Know.
Yeah.
You gonna start a record label or what?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, you are. Look at you. You are even talking about it.
I don't know.
So what artist? So what artist you working with?
Something like that. Maybe distribution or something along those lines.
Yeah, man.
Artist development.
Yes. But so what artist have you been working with that you really fuck with, that you're kind of grooming in a sense?
Because right now, it's really only Tiege.
Okay.
Yeah, just me and Tiege right now. He's got a little situation going on, and that's looking really good for him. And
yeah, he's doing his thing.
So he's doing really good, and like his manager's been helping out a lot. And
he has a manager.
Yeah, he has a manager now, and it's crazy. I'm pretty sure they met online too.
Yeah.
But he was a blogger too at Lyrical Lemonade, and so he's pretty well connected, and you know, he's been helping out a lot with the placements and all that stuff. And I don't know. I just decided, like, because when I started engineering, like at first, you know, I wanted to be Drake. You know, I was a rapper, I wanted to be Drake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when I found out, like, what engineering was and, like, what I was doing, and, like, there was money to be made in it, and I was like, okay, I want to be 40. Then I want to blow up with an artist, you know? I want to be, like, responsible for that, you know?
Man, being a rapper or artist seems like so much work.
Yeah. I'm sure it's fun, but,
I don't think it's fun. I mean, for people like us, I don't know. I guess you have to be a certain kind of person.
I think, I know, like, I've had my share, like, performances, you know, nothing too crazy, but that is an amazing feeling, dude.
To be on stage
and perform. I felt like I was a pretty good performer.
Yeah.
And that shit was so fun. Like, that shit is, like, liberating.
Yeah, I got one taste of performing in college. We were, I was on a football team, so we had, like, the freshmen, they had it's like an initiation bullshit. We go to the auditorium, and nobody's in there except the team, but all the older guys are in there. So all the freshmen are on stage, right? And we have to go up there and tell jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's fucking nerve-wracking, because you're like, for me, I was like in a whole different state. I didn't know anybody, and I got to get up here and tell jokes, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't even realize you got stage fright until you get on the stage.
Right.
It's scary, bro, on stage.
Then you got to make people laugh.
And you got to, oh my God, bro. And it was like, I was so fucking nervous. I was ashamed of myself. And then one of my jokes landed, and I was like, and you tell two jokes, and then you got to go, and the next person's off or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll boo you. Like, that was the whole thing. Like, if you don't, you know, but it was all in good fun. But when my joke landed, I was like, damn, I want to get back up there and do it again.
Dope.
You know? So I can see why people get addicted to that, you know?
There's another artist that I'm working with too, but she just had recently moved back to Carolina. Her name's Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Super dope vocalist. I know she's worked with a couple people out here, mm-hmm. like as far as like performances. She's done a couple things at CMXX, but she's been super in the background. And like, I met her like in 2016 at like Camel Hump Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Camel Hump?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Hold on, Camel Hump. That's it's behind the Palms, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I've been there a couple times.
And then I met her over there, and like, her mom came to the studio with her, and like, her mom is like really the one that made sure we stayed like linked together.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, like, you know, when I started working with Wanya, it was like we were looking for female vocalists and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, perfect, bro. Like, she's got tone, and like, she can really sing and harmonize like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought her in the studio, and like, they love her. So like, she's doing backgrounds for Wanya, you know, and shit too. Like, yeah, she's super fire. Like, we,
She's from Carolina?
Yeah, she's from Carolina, yeah. Yeah, and she was out here a lot too. And then once this whole thing started going on, they ended up moving back.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'm still like working with her remotely, you know, like helping her get her Pro Tools and all that stuff set up. And she's sending me sessions back and forth, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean that's.
Yeah, she. I think like if she takes it serious and like the work ethic, like that was my whole thing, because like I've always thought about like developing her, but like, she just always felt so unsure about like what she wanted to do. I felt like her mom was more so pushing for her to do this and that. And I was like, well, I don't want to invest in anybody if they're not like invested in themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
no, you can't do it. You can't.
So it's like you gotta outwork me if we're working on your thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, then you'll be wasting your own time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you working with boys, Tim, man. That's crazy, man. Yes. How did that come about?
Fucking Instagram.
Word?
Hashtags.
Swear.
So when Junction Sound was at the first Junction Complex on Spring Mountain, shout out to Avir, a super talented singer-songwriter. He found me through a hashtag. I think he was like looking up like Las Vegas producers or something like that. And he came through for a consultation, just wanted to check out the studio, get a tour, vibe out. So we chopped it up, and then he left. And
he was already working with them?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Not at the time. And then he went to Florida, I think, and like I didn't hear from him for like 2 years, and then just randomly he hit me up and was like, hey, you know, I'm working with Wanye from Boyz II Men, you know, we're looking for an engineer. Are you available?
That's so crazy.
And I was like, I was like, damn, that's so fucking nuts. And I had to look it up. Like,
yeah. Did like you think it was a joke?
Individual members were, huh?
Did you think it was a joke?
No, I didn't think it was a joke. Oh, okay. No. Because like I seen his Instagram and stuff, yeah. So I knew.
But
I
it, but it's like it's so crazy that, dude. The,
I almost
the
thought
universe
I fucked it up.
Crazy.
Because like he asked me that, and I was like, yo, look, like I know this is an like a once in a lifetime chance opportunity to work with living legends and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But I just gotta know, will this be a paid gig? Mm-hmm. And he could have told me no, and I still would have been like, all right,
let
me know when I
And you
I got
thought
to
you fucked it up with that question?
Because he didn't hit me back for like oh, a month, fuck. Bro. He just left it. He just left it.
Oh, but he saw it.
Yeah,
and then
he didn't hit me back
rent.
For a month.
No.
And then when he hit me up, he's like, what are your rates?
Oh,
so I gave
shit.
Him my rates, and then they hit me up, and then, yeah, we started yeah. working together, and
good
Wanye
job,
loved
bro.
Me immediately.
Good job, like, bro. Way to go. I mean, that's great that you're, you know, you still need to be compensated, you know? I mean, obviously, it is an opportunity. You probably would have took the opportunity if it was
I
paid or
he
not.
He
could have
said
yeah.
no, and I would have been like, all right, let me know when I got to pull up, you know?
That's cool, bro.
But I was just wondering, you know,
it's
I had
good
to
ask.
Shoot my
it's
shot.
It's good to ask, because
yeah.
then people take you more seriously in that way, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't really want to, like, it sounds good, like, yeah, I'll work for free as an opportunity, but then it's like the respect goes down, you know, kind of yeah. deal, and it's... I don't know. It's a different dynamic when not everybody's getting paid.
Right.
You know, and then you probably wouldn't. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just everybody needs to get paid. You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
That's so crazy,
but
though.
Just the
That's,
way he is, though, and like how he treats me and stuff like that. He's a type of artist where it's just like I thoroughly enjoy working with him, whether
with Wanye
I'm getting paid or not. Because he's made me a better engineer. Like, he
I
is.
Bet.
Like,
the only thing you can do in that situation is
he's been in the studio
is
like longer than I've been alive. So,
so crazy.
It's like,
it's
know,
so
like,
it blows my mind that it's just like that's something that the universe is that proves that the universe is working, man. Because mm-hmm. you could just imagine the amount of like proven engineers that he has access to.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
at that time, mm-hmm. you know, but now, when did this happen?
This was the end of 2018, right after my birthday.
Yeah. Okay, so you've grown a lot.
Absolutely,
obviously, you know, and
he's made me a way better engineer.
Is it fair to say you were kind of in your beginning stages at that time?
No, I've been doing it for
right.
a pretty long time.
Okay,
like at least like 2 full years.
Okay,
full time.
Okay, but. And I'm not trying to diminish you or anything. You know what I mean? This is what I'm trying to say is like it's just like the universe is fucking real in that sense. Like,
yeah.
yo, you never know what could happen, and shoot your shot. Is what I'm trying to say.
As far as mixing goes,
yeah,
I was definitely still.
Yeah,
I thought I was good, but after working with them,
yeah,
and then,
but you're
like,
talking about Boyz II Men, bro.
Yeah, man,
legends. You know.
Yeah, and he's super hands on. Like
yeah.
he knows what exactly
that's
what
good,
he's
bro.
Looking for. The frequencies, his pitch, like is on
that's,
point.
That's,
it's perfect.
It says a lot about him too that he's willing to give. Because he could have been bougie and been like, man, you
he's
know.
He's so open-minded,
yeah,
bro.
That's
like,
so
we
cool,
have writing
bro.
Sessions,
yeah.
bro. Like, he'll let me pitch lines and stuff
right.
like that. I'm not a writer
right.
and stuff, but he'd be taking some of them, too. It's like, he's
yeah.
that open-minded. And, like, if he fucks with it, he fucks with it. And, like,
mm-hmm.
it's crazy, like someone of this level and stature could, like you said, just be super, like, egotistical.
Says
and
a lot
all
about
that stuff.
His character,
but, like,
and
bro,
great.
Super humble. Like, one of the funnest people I've ever worked with, the most talented person
yeah.
I've ever fucking worked with. It's him and Avir singing, like, watching them go back and forth is insane because
yeah.
like their notes like bro like I'm just pressing record most of the time like when Avir was working
mm-hmm.
and like you know he's pressing the talk back talking to Wanye through the booth and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that and they're just going back and forth in their language like sometimes they're not even just saying words you know
yeah.
they're just singing the notes or like he's not pressing the button like he's in the back of the room he's like no like this and he'll sing it he can't hear him because he's in the booth but he'll do this and then he'll sing repeat exactly what
like
he
doing
did
sign language
exactly what he did I'm like dude you guys are not human
oh
the
man
fuck are you guys doing
they're tapped into that different frequency bro
and yeah and so his style of recording is called comping so what we'll do is like say you have like a 16 bar verse or something it's
mm-hmm.
like we'll do like 4 bars at a time
mm-hmm.
but we'll do it 5 times and then we'll just mute them and then do the next 4 bars and the next 4 bars
mm.
all 5 times each and then what we do is like we splice it up and we comp basically like the best takes of each one and then we make the take.
Mm.
And so it's like, you know, we're recording with Auto-Tune. This guy's already a phenomenal fucking singer.
Yeah.
And now we're going through these takes and now I have to decide which one is the better take?
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, they all sound amazing. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it improved my ear when it comes to pitch so much. And now it's not always about pitch. It's like, how does it make you feel? The tone, like the attitude, the cadence, the character. There's so many little like nuances that go into, you know what I'm saying? The vibrato, straight with vibrato, like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, and it's improved me so much. The language that Avir uses to get him to sing a certain way helped me a lot. So now I know how to communicate with my singers, like the artists I'm working with. Like, no, say it like this, and you know, and
I can't imagine how much you're growing from that experience, bro. How much you're getting better from that experience, bro.
Yeah, and they your treat price, me like
your
family,
your
bro.
Price just went up, bro.
They treat me like family.
Yeah, I seen.
Crazy.
I know. I seen you at
the wedding. I
seen
you.
I seen. Like, you know what's funny is I seen you on Nick's Instagram. Oh, yeah. I know Nick. Yeah, that's my boy. Yeah,
that's dope.
Yeah, City Small, man.
Hell yeah,
that's dope.
Shout out to Nick, man. Yeah, yeah. Have you met Fitness?
Yeah, have you? Yeah, shout out to Ace Fitness. Yeah, I'm a. I think I'm gonna have Nick on pretty soon.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That'd be cool.
I mean, I mentioned it to him a couple of times. He's on me though. I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Have you met the other members
of Ace Fitness?
No, of Boyz II Men.
Yeah.
Dope. Yep. That's crazy.
Yep.
Because
I met Sean a few times. Yeah. He was.
They got that residency out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I only met Nate one time. It was in the studio.
Okay. Do they live out here?
I think they all live out here.
Nice. Yeah, because they got that residency.
Yep.
That's dope, man. That's so cool, bro.
So dope.
That's so cool.
So blessed.
And you came up out of the Junction Complex.
Yes, sir.
Damn.
Shout out to the Junction Complex. Shout out to Ness, man.
Ness, the whole team, man.
Oh, yes.
I speak. I can't. Every episode, Ness comes up, bro, and it's like.
Got it, bro.
Hats
it's a never ending story.
Hats off, bro. I said half off. Oh man. So what else going on? So what's your? What I wanted to ask you was, you're, you know, a lot of. It seems like some artists. A lot of artists out here are, you know, up-and-coming artists with a lot of talent are having some trouble breaking through to the next level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the diagnosis for that?
What do I think is the diagnosis for an artist to get to the next level?
Yeah, in the sense of what do you see in the majority of artists in Vegas? What are they lacking? What are they doing wrong? What are they not doing?
It's just the whole package.
Boom, okay.
You know, because it's not just about the music, you know? It's about the visuals. Mm-hmm. It's about... You know,
the marketing,
the image,
mm-hmm.
the marketing, the story. The story is very, very important. In any business whatsoever, you have to have a story. That's how people get emotionally connected to you. You know, that's why, like, when you hear my story on, like, if you've watched any other one of my podcasts, you know, mm-hmm. things I'm talking about now, I mentioned in those ones because, like, this is my story. You know, this is what I've been through. It's my experience. And it's the same thing with artists. You know, they have to have a story. And it's just the full package. You gotta have... The whole thing, in my opinion, to really do something and to break out of the city. I don't think you should rely on Vegas to get you to that point.
So
T's
been having some success, so he's been getting...
And it's definitely due to a lot of the playlists and stuff like that. That's giving him a broader audience, you know,
How does an artist get there, though? How does an artist be like, okay, I want to get on Rap Caviar, I want to get on these different playlists. What do you have to do as an artist to get there?
You just got to message the... playlist curators.
Play that internet game.
Yeah, you got to play the internet game or find someone who does know these people, you know? It's just about research.
Connections and shit.
So I'm like, I couldn't tell you, like, when it comes to, like, once the music leaves the studio, it's like, that's part where I'm still working on is, like, the whole, like, after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, like, what else we got to do then? So I don't really have a lot of advice when it comes to that. But
seems like there's a formula.
There is, and Teach could actually talk about that shit forever, you know, like, because he does it for himself, you know, and he's like, he's had to do it for himself, you know, and he found his manager, I'm pretty sure. And just the way he goes about researching shit and mm-hmm. how he finds people and, like, who they're signed to and all this stuff and, like, how these, like,
student.
How,
he's a student.
Like, he knows somebody who knows somebody, and it's like, and we all know somebody.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just got to find that somebody. You know?
Six degrees of separation, bro.
Yep.
It's crazy. You know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody.
And I actually think it's 2 degrees in America.
Mm.
Six degrees is in the world, right? You know,
six
people, like, of anybody in the world.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, like, 2 degrees for America alone. Like, mm-hmm. if you're, like, you know two people who know that person that you're trying to get in contact with.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially with the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, easy. You can just bypass all that shit.
Exactly. It's definitely had to take a couple degrees down.
Yeah. Sure. No, you're right with the internet. It's like, you know. But, you know, the internet is so oversaturated that it almost makes having an in-person connection even more important.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like I'm more so like longing for that too. Like I honestly can't wait till we get back to like networking again and stuff like that. And I want to do like more consultations too, where like artists or people just come to the studio just to like get a tour for the studio, meet the engineers and stuff like that, and basically just have a conversation of like, okay, how can we actually help you? Like, what can we really do to help you accomplish whatever it is that you're accomplishing? And I feel like that one-to-one personal connection is just gonna help everybody involved.
Especially in a creative space, because you need that synergy, and you need that chemistry.
And there's no other engineers studios who really, I feel like, take that extra step in initiative, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like with the other studios, the difference being is that I'm a studio owner, but I came up as an engineer and artist. Mm-hmm. So it's like I just have the perspective from them. Like I don't know who owns these other studios and stuff like that, but it just feels like it's more of just like a business managerial like perspective that they're coming from. You know what I mean?
It's not good energy you want to put in that space like that.
Yeah. So I just think it's just something that's not really being tapped into. And you know, there's definitely talent, like you said. There's so much talent out here. You know what I'm saying? So if we can, like I said, just do our part as far as like the music creation goes and help people like, you know, get the music made, that quality, you know, like me and Angel alone, like we're producing that quality and quantity. Like 100%. Fuck that shit. Like we're fucking it up. Like
I should do a tape. I know you're working on it.
Yeah, I know he has a tape, you know, that we did. We did that together.
The what's it called?
Top of the Food Chain, Volume
1.
Yep,
I've seen it.
Yeah, he was working on Volume 2. I mean, I don't want to talk about his projects.
Okay, my bad. Yeah. Dude, I've been getting exclusives on the E Square podcast, man, I swear.
That's what's up, though, man. So what else is going on, man? What do you see, what's your goal for 5 years?
For 5 years,
you have 5 year plans. Do you even think like that?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely gonna be. I'm gonna have the studio for 3 for sure. We signed a 3 year lease, so we're in that for 3 years. Good. I definitely think we'll have it longer. My goal right now is to build a team of engineers and producers and stuff. I'm also a mentor in Recording Connections, so it's cool because they give me student interns and stuff like that, which is super dope. Makes me a better engineer because I'm majority self-taught, and so then having to teach someone what I learned myself is like helping me understand it better. Mm-hmm. So like I'm getting people from there who are like transitioning into interns, and then I'm also just like finding other like producers and engineers in the city who like. I don't know. I'm just trying to like train them and like give them the template, give them the sauce. Like I'm ready to like pass along the information and just build a solid team of like engineers and producers, and the artist community, of course. Like with the beat auction, like the whole goal for that is to connect more artists and producers together, for them to work together and stuff.
Can you give me some more information on the beat auction?
So the beat auction, I came up with the concept from Camel Hump. They actually gave me the idea in 2017. And I did two of them in 2017 at the Old Junction Complex, just testing it out. And
I remember those events.
Yeah, it was cool. Everybody loves the idea. The concept is definitely there.
That's so dope. It's like a party, but it's an auction.
Yeah,
it's
cool. It's just a networking event.
Yeah, that's
you can
dope.
Go and support and buy beats. Man, this last one was gonna be dope, bro. We got a
virtual one.
A lot. I've been thinking about it. It's just I have too much going on right now. I'm just wait it out, I think. But this last one, we had a write-up in Las Vegas Weekly, and it was cool because Richie Bucks did the artwork for the beat auction.
Okay.
It was his main article, so it was about him. Mm-hmm. Then the Audibles had a sub-article, and then there was another sub-article for the beat auction.
Uh-huh.
And that shit was just so cool to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're really out
something
here as
you created,
a city
yeah.
fucking it up.
Yeah.
And then the fucking pandemic happened, and I had to cancel that shit. And that was the one where I was actually going to give away free beats this time, which was a new, like, tactic that I was trying to get, like, more artists to come through. And I didn't get to do that. But anyways, the whole concept is just, you know, I'm basically, like, handpicking producers from the city to essentially just auction off their beats, exclusive beats. Like, they're making beats for the beat auction. It's a minimum bid. And then, basically, you know, the artists will come through. They'll get a chance to listen to the song one time through, and then they get to bid on it the next time they hear it. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. It's a really dope one. Like, these last ones, I was definitely building the momentum, doing them a lot more consistent. And I know the first two that I did, I guess the issue was like more producers would come than artists. Mm-hmm. There was nobody really there to like buy beats. And like the first two I did, I don't think anybody like outbid each other.
Well, I think artists always trying to get the freebie.
Yeah, that's also true. I was like, how do I get artists who already don't like paying for beats to come to an event?
So crazy to buy that beats. Artists don't want to pay for beats. Like they forget like it's 50-50 when it comes to a song. If you're not making your own beats, I encourage a lot of artists to make their own beats, but if you're not doing it, man, like, you know, it takes time. It's like videos. You record videos, like an artist, I mean, a lot of artists don't like to pay $600-$700 for a video because they think that's too much. But they don't see, like, you shoot the video, but they don't see the hours that go into editing. That's the thing, bro. Yeah. It takes hours to sit there and make a beat. You know, I mean, some people have their own timelines, but pay the fucking producers, bro.
And art. If you want to be an artist, bro, you better love this shit because it's not easy and it's a long fucking journey. And you're probably gonna be a starving artist for the majority of it until like something big happens. Like that's just the reality of it. It's like you gotta pay for all that shit.
Yeah,
you gotta, if you want quality, you gotta pay for it.
You pay for what you get in this world, man.
You gotta pay for studio time. You gotta pay for beats. You gotta pay for the cover art. You gotta pay for the video.
Or just do it yourself.
Do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Or find someone who's willing to work with, or someone you're willing to grow with. You know what I mean? Like, and treat that person with like family. You know, if they're fucking helping you, like, bring your fucking vision to life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I see that. Because
I see
that
it happen to engineers and stuff like that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, bro.
Yeah.
No,
I feel you, bro. I see some artists that take advantage of people around them. Like, you know, you can just kind of smell it. Like, they're not really. They just don't want to pay for it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fucked up. But
yeah, and there's deals that can be made though. Like just starting out.
There's deals can be made. Like, you know, you guys can split the song, the royalties on the song.
Yeah, and if you're doing that, you know. Split sheet after every session.
Split sheet.
Don't wait on it.
Get your paperwork right too,
and
man.
It's an uncomfortable conversation to have, but the sooner you have it, the easier it is. You know what I'm saying?
Like, everybody's.
You know, and I've met artists who are really stingy with their hypothetical money.
Oh, for real? Yeah.
Did I say that right? Hypothetical.
Money that they haven't even forked
it's
out.
All, it's for all hypothetical. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're splitting a percentage of zero right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, I feel you. people just don't understand. That's the problem. I mean, with an up-and-coming artist, you can kind of expect it, you know, in the sense of they don't know what the fuck the business is. They don't have an experience with it. They don't have experience with business in general.
But if you're just starting out, it's more reason to just evenly split with whoever's involved with the song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how
most of the time, you're not making money. When you're just up-and-coming, you ain't really making no money.
And that's
how
the industry works, too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went to... Ill Minds passed the Ox, and that's a question that comes up all the time. It's like, how does publishing and all that stuff work? And, you know, it's like you have the artist inside and you have the published side and all that stuff, and everything, how you split it on this side is what reflects on the publishing side.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I don't know, it's a really fucking confusing thing, and I get it, why people don't understand, but that's why it's easier just evenly split everything. If you were involved, especially if you're there from the start to finish and nobody's here getting paid.
Yeah.
Everybody in that room deserves even split if they're contributing to the record.
Exactly. But a lot of artists getting their ego.
Oh, yes.
Getting their ego
big
bag.
Time, big time. And they will burn bridges quick as
and
fuck.
And then they self-destruct.
You should be doing everything for an artist. Just doing everything.
And they want to take it all.
Developing them, you know, giving them connections. You know, and they can just be real.
Yeah, we're not trying to downplay artists, but we're just saying, just keep in mind, keep your ego out the way.
Yeah.
And if somebody's helping you create.
Yeah, not every artist is like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But... I know like there's like a lot of people like people ask me, it's like how do you decide like when you want to like work with an artist, and like do you ever just like work with them like for free and like starting out, and like I've never done that because I got into it like so early on, like the business, like like I started off like getting paid, you know, so it was like I'm not going to backtrack and do it for free. If you're serious,
you'll pay me. Yeah, if we click
then we'll talk.
Right.
That's what happened with Tej. Yep. You know, he paid me for a whole project, the Spotlight project. He paid for it. You know what I mean? And then we did that. And then
it's better for the chemistry.
Shit continued, and like we just clicked. And then we're like, all right.
Because at that point, you're investing. You're investing in each other. You're showing like, if I pay you, I value your work. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to pay you. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for a freebie. I don't want a discount. Mm-hmm. I want to pay you. So you feel that I appreciate your work, I value your work, and we can have a good business relationship. Mm-hmm. It's a respect thing, period. Mm-hmm. It's a respect Absolutely. Thing. So you want to get off on that right foot and then build those relationships, and then good things start happening from mm-hmm. there. So
yeah, it's like, even see, think about it. Like, when people ask me that, like to do anything for free or anything, it's like, with that story I just told you with Wanya, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, that was an opportunity to work with a living legend. And even though I would have done it for free,
yeah,
I still asked, at least, like, yo, is this a paid gig?
Yeah.
You know,
that's good.
You gotta ask.
You have to. Yeah. You gotta shoot your shot, man.
And, I mean, this is what I've been doing full time. It's
weird. Why
I used to feel bad, you know? It's
yeah, like, you feel ashamed for trying to charge people.
You know, it's like, weird. Even like, you know, because like some artists, like, and you know, I'm empathetic, you know, and like like artists are emotional people, and like they're a lot of people are going through shit, you know, and like mm-hmm. and I'm empathetic. But like, when you try to use it as a tactic to like get a better price, it's not gonna work. Yeah. Like my price is my price, and like, you know, like I've worked really hard to get here. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I should be charging more. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. So it's like, I'm not.
And if you really want to do this, if you really want to do this with your life, this is the path you want to go down. You'll make it happen.
Yeah,
you'll get that money. Yep. It's not that expensive.
It's not crazy, bro. And I'm telling you, I'm getting cold with it, bro.
Man.
Come on,
bro. You working with boys and men? Your price better go up, bro. Your price better go up.
It's a studio. Yeah. When the studio's open.
Well, congratulations, brother.
Thank you, bro.
It's I've known you for a few years now.
Yeah.
Been watching you grow. It's been great.
Man.
I can't wait to see what the future has to come, man.
Me too, bro. The whole city going up for sure, bro.
Oh, for sure. It's a matter of time, man.
You're doing your thing. See, with this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you're playing your role. You're interviewing people, getting conversations mm-hmm. started. And we all need more of that shit, you know? Like, I don't have to be the only engineer out here doing shit. I don't have to be the only studio.
Plenty of room
here.
For everybody
there's
to
plenty,
win.
Yeah. There's plenty, and we need more of it. Yeah. I encourage that shit. Yeah. I'm cool with all the fucking engineers out here.
Yeah.
All of them. Yeah. You know, like, there's no, like, engineers are cool as fuck. Like, we're all cool with each other. Yeah. Like, I don't think I have any animosity towards any engineer out here. And, like, the whole scene needs to be like that, you know, when it comes to...
We're getting there, I think.
Even studio owners, like 77, 1920, like, I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure all of us are cool with each other. Like, I don't have any issues with them, and... like, that's just how it should be. There should be more studios out here. And there is. I feel like there's a lot of, like,
there are,
studios.
They're popping up.
There's popping up.
They're popping
up. And that's cool, man. King Gas just opened his studio. And
King Gas is my boy, man.
You know what I'm saying,
that's bro? My boy,
and I'll shout him out. As a studio owner who has a studio, I don't care,
he's been at the brother.
I don't care.
Bro, Gas is one
gas
of the coolest.
Gas, bro.
He's the coolest motherfucker ever, bro. Nicest guy, bro.
Hell
and
yeah.
He's hella knowledgeable, too, man.
Absolutely. I think I met him... through Wanya and them, Avir and them too.
Oh, actually, really? He knows them? I just got off the phone with Gaz before I came here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got something cracking.
I believe I did. Yeah. But yeah, man, everybody got it. Because, like, the more, the merrier, you know? It's same thing with Atlanta, you know? It's like, think about how many fucking studios they have out there, you know what I'm saying?
And so many, there's so many, they're collabing like a
there's
motherfucker.
There's too much,
bro.
Like, I can't handle all the artists.
And look
in
how
Vegas,
many, look,
you know what I'm
look
saying?
At, like, and look at the.
And not everybody's gonna wanna vibe with us. Not everybody's gonna wanna come to Junction Center, you know what I'm
saying? But look at the success out of that's came out of that city, bro. They're just pumping legends out, bro. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's definitely due to the synergy out there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you do music, that's bottom line, bro. Like, you know, we have that common ground where we can work together now. Because mm-hmm. whether we're doing music or not, we're still in the same industry. We're still doing the same thing. Yep. So, you know.
And that's why I fuck with Angel, too, because he's on that same exact mindset. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, he's trying to get everybody to work together. And mm-hmm. as doing, like, a compilation tape with everybody in the city, like, more producers need to do that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's not a new concept. Nobody thought of it and coined that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's been done forever, and more artists, more producers should be doing that.
Yeah.
And just hosting projects. Because that's.
Yeah, it opens up a lot of doors. It gets people thinking differently about working with people they didn't really think about working with. There's a lot of upsides to it. And then especially when it's done right,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a good look for everybody. It's mm-hmm. a good look for the city.
Same thing with the playlist. People need to keep doing the playlist. Like, mm-hmm. I see the ones who are out here doing it, and I fuck with them. Like, I appreciate that someone is actually going through the time to find every single, like,
I want to do
artist
a playlist
that they can find in
I
Vegas.
I
want to
do a playlist.
Not even the popping one. Like, just any, like, artists. Yeah. Like, they're really out here doing their research, which is cool, because I'm not. I'm definitely not looking like there's just too much on my plate to do that. And I'm glad there's somebody else out there doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I want to do a playlist. I've been thinking about it for a while.
To be honest, bro, like there's this app called Station Head. I don't know mm-hmm. if you ever heard of it, but mm-hmm. it's like you could basically like create your own radio station with a playlist like a Spotify playlist or mm-hmm. something, oh, and really? You can go live, oh, and what? You can like basically just like a radio show.
Yeah.
So if you can go live, and then what's really cool about this is say you have a show, like we're doing a show right now mm-hmm. on Station Head, and I'm an artist, and you're interviewing me, and we're about to premiere a song, and there's 100 people right now tuned in live. So, mm-hmm. Once you play that song, it counts as 100 streams because there's 100 people watching. What? So it's a cool way to get like people engaged and get the streams up off uh-huh. of like a radio show, yeah. and then you can support other playlists and like mm-hmm. put the playlist in the rotation. Like, so if anybody just tunes into your station on Station Head, yeah. just that playlist is just playing,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
And yeah, I think
it's a pretty cool concept.
I think I might do. I'm gonna look into it because I love new music. I love getting hip to new artists and new songs before everybody else does. I love it. It's like a win for me. Like, yeah. you know, it's like a little thing that, like, I look for it. I look for new up and coming artists and good songs and shit. Like this, have you heard Scooter?
Yes.
Out of Vegas? Yeah, he's hard. Yeah, like, he's
that's
hard.
What I'm saying. Like, I was actually going to bring him up when we were talking about, like, what does an artist need to, like, go to that next level when I was talking about the full package.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He got it.
Yeah, to I don't know. I don't know who's engineering and stuff, but like I did one song for him.
Oh, you worked with him already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I don't know. It was a 2-track, and that bass was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like my mix on that wasn't probably the best, just because like the instrumental that I was dealing with. But
yeah,
he's someone that I just support and fuck with. I post him on my story all the time, just because I see him out here doing his thing, and like he's just got the vibe, like that whatever that.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's what I tell a lot of artists. Like,
and it's like sometimes like with the bars, like even if they're not the coldest, it's like how he's saying them, like his cadence and everything is what makes it so hard too. I'm like, dude,
yeah,
like, he's talented.
See, he's one of those guys that has that it factor that I try to describe, but I can't. Like some artists just have it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people in general, some people just have it, and some people just don't have it. Like you know that's. And it's just something that you can't explain or you can't put your finger on.
Yeah, and but I feel like the people will pick.
You
the
have
people
to,
will
yeah,
pick the
yeah,
artist. That's
yeah.
why I feel like Tej is doing what he's doing and mm-hmm. like why he gets so much love from the city. Like, they chose him, in my opinion. Like, I don't think he pushed his way or, like, claimed anything, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, people kind of just put him on this fucking pedestal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's how it
should
be.
Yeah, he's came a long way. I
remember when, like, I really noticed, like, people were really fucking with Tej mm-hmm. is when Seta had a...
Oh, God.
Don't
say his name on my goddamn show. That motherfucker, man. Come on, man.
My bad, bro.
No, it's all good. I'll just fuck with you. Yeah. It's cool. We got to talk about it. Somebody put him on blast a couple months ago, maybe.
Hella people put him on blast.
No, like
I didn't even know Joker put him on blast.
It went on. It was a thread, and then you just see everybody telling their stories, bro.
Everybody.
He had a fucking. It's funny, bro. But go ahead.
So you know, he got Tej.
Yeah.
On some shit. I think he got his money back though. But yeah, I mean, he tweeted about it, and then like the whole city was just like like writing for Tej after that. Like Twitter was just going crazy after he had like posted about that, and I was like, damn. People are really fucking with Tej and like riding with him. This was probably like in 2018, and like ever since then, it's just like I've just seen a constant growth from him in like the city and stuff like that.
Yeah, I talked to Brandon about this too. Tej came a long way. I mean, I've seen Tej. I never really had an interaction with Tej, but I've been following his music for a while, and I just remember when I first heard him years ago, I was like, dude, this dude sounds just like Kyle.
Yeah.
Looks and sounds just like Kyle, dude. Yeah. I'm like, it threw me off, you know. So it's
everybody says that.
Yeah,
and it was so funny,
it's
bro.
It probably pisses him off, bro. I can only imagine like
he probably liked it a little bit too. He was a fan. I mean, like you know, you're gonna start off like your influences. That's just how it is. But I remember one time I had Fireman in the studio. Shout out to Fireman, and this is him and Tej's first interaction, and they didn't really say much. Like it was one session was ending and one was starting, so they were like. Passing,
right?
And as Fireman's leaving, he's like, he seems like a smart kid, you know. He reminds me of Futuristic, and like as he's walking out, he turns around, he's like, no, Kyle. And I just started dying. Yeah. I was like, dude, you didn't even hear his music. That's you heard funny. Him say a few words, and that's you're just so like, funny. Kyle.
Yeah, he looks like he talks like his style. Like it's and that's what threw me off in the beginning.
But he doesn't have that sound anymore. He's definitely found his niche, and
that's what happens when you stick with it.
Yes.
That's what happens when you stick with it.
Yes,
that's dope.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
That's dope, man. He's
he's doing the right things. You know, he's making the right moves behind the scenes. That's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, let's wrap it up. I think it's been an hour. How long is it? How long has it been? Oh, damn. Okay.
Perfect, cool.
Any shout outs?
It was just flowing. It didn't even feel like that. No. Shout out to Junction Sound. Shout out to everybody I mentioned earlier in the podcast. I pretty much mentioned like the core people, you know. Shout out to you. Thank you for having me, bro.
I appreciate
you coming
through.
Junction Complex, man. We're doing amazing things here, I love it, man. Let's go up.
Hey. Till next time, brother. I don't know why that was like an awkward awkward ending. I hit a blank right there. Thanks for coming through, brother. Till next time.
Appreciate you, man.
Peace.
Peace.